Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms chapter 42. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God. With glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully, because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Amen. You can hear the emotion in the psalmist's voice, something that resonates deep within our soul that we completely understand. First, this psalmist feels almost separated from God. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? But deep within the psalmist's heart, the psalmist knows that God is there. And as the psalmist reflects, there's these memories of being so close to God at the height of worship, going up with the throng, leading the throng out in worship. But yet there's something going on in the psalmist's life that has separated the psalmist from that activity. He's not able to go up and worship. He's not able to lead. And not only does it feel like the separation from God, but separation from community. And the people that are around them are asking, because obviously there's quite a hardship. Even though we don't know where it is, we can plug something in. We know what hardship's like. We know what struggle's like. We know what it means to have a broken heart. And at this parson's lowest point, people are like, where's your God? Are you sure God exists right now? Are you sure God even cares about you right now? And if it's not a voice from someone else, it's a voice within ourselves that asks, does God even care right now about my pain? And then the voice might say, maybe I don't deserve for God to care. Most of us in this room probably know what it feels like to have that sense of separation. And that's what it is, a sense of. It is not true separation, because the truth of the matter is God never abandons us or forsakes us or leaves us. God is faithful. And that is something the psalmist also remembers. Why are you cast down? Hope. Hope in God. And that is the psalmist's last word. Continue to hope. Find that place where it is well with your soul. Which leads us to the hymn or song for today. It is Well With Your Soul. This is an oldie but goodie. It is a favorite for many who have grown up in the church singing, It is Well With My Soul. How many of you know the story behind this song? All right, of course Susie does. Anybody else? This is one of the hymns that probably has one of the most fascinating and moving background stories. Do any of you know what happened? What was the big deal in 1871? I know none of you were alive to remember this, but if you remember your history, what was the big deal in 1871? Happened in Chicago. Fire, that's right, fire. So, somebody kicked over Old Lady Leary lit, right? That's another good one. Old Lady Leary lit a lantern in the shed. Y'all know that one? Yeah, okay. All right. So this song is written by Horatio Spafford. And actually, he just wrote the words. He was actually very, very wealthy. He was a laity, but he was very involved in the church. He was a big believer. And was probably very supportive. He was also very supportive in the work of Moody and the revival that was going on. In fact, when the fire hit, he lost a lot of his own income and stock holdings. And he felt like his family needed a change. So they were actually going to meet up with Moody and company for the revival that was happening in Europe. So he packed up his wife and four of his daughters to go on ahead. And at some point, as they were moving to Europe, and remember, Horatio stayed home, their ship was hit by another ship, and it only took 12 minutes to sink the ship that his family was on. The wife did make it to Europe to send one cable, and the message said, saved alone. Wow. Four of his kids, four daughters, all at once. Knowing his wife had been through that, and she's in Europe by herself, there's no planes. It takes a very long time to get to Europe from America. It's a long journey with a heavy heart. But he gets on the ship to meet his wife. And at some point on that journey, the waters are so still. And these words come to his heart. Those words that we just sang. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever lot that has taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. That's the kind of peace and serenity we are all searching for. That kind of peace and serenity that grounds itself when the storms are raging. Those kind of storms that absolutely rock our world. The kind that comes with the loss of a loved one unexpectedly. The kind that comes with the news that you, our loved one, is sicker than we ever imagined. When the word cancer is mentioned. Yeah. Or when the words car accident are mentioned. Or when the word death is mentioned. When our world is in absolute chaos and we have no control whatsoever. There is this grounding like an oak planted near the water when the wind comes crashing and that tree is unmoved. Many of us, when these things happen, we feel like we are just tossed by the wind to and fro. But Horatio was able to find some kind of serenity that grounded him, rooted him in this place of peace, in this unimaginable loss, where he had no control whatsoever. He wasn't even in the place where he could comfort his wife. But yet, in that place, he could say, it is well with my soul. You know, there's peaceful places that help nurture our soul and to get us there. I don't know if, is there a picture in there in the media of a stream? Is it in there? Is she awake back there? Hello? Yeah, you in the back. Yeah, you. Is there a picture in there? It's a stream? Yeah, there we go. Thank you. I think she had fallen asleep. I'm not that interesting this morning. Okay. This was on our vacation. Isn't it beautiful? Yeah. The psalmist says, I'm like a deer that pants for water. I'm so thirsty. These images of water are very important to us. This was in Jones Gap State Park in South Carolina. This place was absolutely beautiful. And this river, this creek bed, runs all the way through it from one end to the next. And it's got this gorgeous trail that you get to walk around and you hear this water, this bubbling brook as you walk. And you're surrounded by this lush greenery. And it is very green. The leaves on the trees, the moss that's growing all over the rocks. It's absolutely beautiful. And there's this peacefulness that surrounds. That's so wonderful. And you just want to get in it. So me and the kids did get in it. And of course, they're more agile and stronger than I am. And I can't keep up with them, so I'm trying to keep up with them, and I'm calling out, and this is becoming to be a very stressful event for me. What is supposed to be peaceful is turning out to be, hey, you're going too far upstream. Oh, Mom, just let us go. No! And, you know, your brain thinks in stories. I want you to think about that. Your brain thinks in stories. Your brain is always trying to work out things in story form. If you don't know the complete story, guess what your brain does? It fills in the blanks with story. That may or may not happen or may not be true, but that's what you do. So my brain's telling me a story. Your kids are going to fall and bust their heads, and you're too far behind. You cannot catch them, and they're just going to flow downstream. Their little broken bodies are going to go on without you. All right? So I'm screaming, stop, 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 because I'm there by myself with them. Mag didn't go with us, and my Uncle Jimmy had gone to the car for something. But they are so excited. Their little brains are telling their stories. There's an adventure ahead. There's going to be the coolest rock ahead. I've got to climb on this one. And it's slick, you know, it's got the moss on it. And their backs are to me because they are ahead of me. So I'm thinking, I'm going to get out of the stream, and I'm going to walk around to get to them, because I can move faster on land. So as I'm getting out, there's this big, huge rock. I'm like, okay, I just got to step, and it's slanted, and I can step on that rock and just hop out. One problem is, my brain didn't tell me this story. I fell, right? This story was not in my head, right? My brain missed this one. And so on this big, slanted rock, I just slip right down and catch myself with my derriere, which is bruised beyond imagination. And there is a picture up there. Yeah. There is no, that would be a whole new meaning to blue moon. Okay. So there's nobody to see this. My kids have their back to me. So not only am I hurting and I'm fallen and I'm broken, but there's no one to give me any sympathy. And I'm screaming ahead of my kids. And, you know, you hear this beautiful sound, which isn't so beautiful anymore when you're screaming at your children, come back, come back. And they can't hear you. Right? And so, and then you have to tell them, look, I already fell. Your old lady mom already fell. So please, just stay in this little general area. Right? Trying to contain it. What should have been so very peaceful becomes stressful. But it's a part of what our life is, right? It's chaotic. There's things that go out of our control. God is offering us this beautiful peace, this serenity, but there's so much going on that is so much more tangible to our physical beings that we lose sight of the beauty and peace that is already around us in the presence of God's Spirit. And we just get lost in the anxiety of it all and the stress. And it is real, folks. We live in a day and age that there are so many people on anxiety meds because anxiety is real and we don't know how to cope with it. But yet, peace beyond the situation exists. Peace beyond the current situation exists. And this was something that the psalmist was able to capture. This was something Horatio was able to capture, was that even though in this very moment, it's bad. It's really, really, really bad. It's so bad my soul can't handle it, says the psalmist. But you know what? There's this reason we can do this. And Horatio even said, it's well with my soul, I'm okay. Because they were able to see something beyond the situation. And that is beyond this current reality here now, this my little reality, there's something greater and bigger going on. And that is God at work. Hope in God, what the psalmist says. And even Horatio goes on to say, and this is where his hope is grounded in verse 4 of his song. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. There is something greater than the situation, something more powerful. Something that this situation, and this is hard for us to remember when it is so bad, that it is temporary. What is going on in this reality, in this world, is temporary, folks. What God is working on is eternal. It will last forever, not for our lifetime. In some situations, I'm sorry, it will last for our lifetime, but it's still fleeting. There is something greater, more powerful, that is eternal, that when we get beyond these troubles, the peace and serenity will be beyond our imagination. And if we can just get a foretaste of that, to ground our souls to where we are not moved, that we can find serenity. There is a serenity prayer, and some of us know the first couple of lines for it. It's greatly used in Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Does anybody know the rest of it? That's just the first couple of lines. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right, if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life, and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Hope in the eternal. Hope in something bigger than what is going on today. And all it takes to settle our soul is just a foretaste of the divine. Just a little glimpse of knowing that God is there. And God is. Hope. Hope in God. Allowing God's beacon of light to shine forth in the raging storm, looking for it, looking beyond the storm. Again, sometimes we are just so very blind to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.